declare the meeting open at 10 o'clock. This meeting is conducted in accordance with the Local Government Act 1993 and the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2025. All councillors are reminded of their obligation to act in the best interest of their community and to declare any interest in matters to be discussed. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land in which we work and live, the Palawa people of this land, Tasmania, and recognise their continuing connections to the land, skies and waters, and we pay respect to the elders past and present. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to advise you that today's council meeting is being live streamed and recorded. This means that members of the public who are unable to attend in person can still observe the proceedings. By remaining in this chamber, you're consenting to being filmed and recorded. Please be mindful of your actions and contributions as they will be visible to the public, and thank you for your cooperation. 26.1.1, we have councillors in attendance. 26.1.2, we have an apology for Councillor Kylie Wright. 26.1.3, leave of absence, which we have nil. And 26.1.4, we have staff in attendance. 26.2 is public question time, and in accordance with Regulation 33-38 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2025, questions, whether for members of the public or councillors, must relate to the functions of, or activities of a council, must not be defamatory, offensive or disrupt the orderly conduct of a meeting. A question asked is to be concise, be clear, not be a statement, have minimal preamble. General statements are not permitted during question time. Members of the public and councillors may ask up to 4 questions per meeting. The chairperson reserves the right to refuse a question, and in accordance with the regulation, if a question is refused, the reason will be stated and recorded in the minutes. 26.2.1 is correspondence and protocols from Graham Walden, which has been answered question 1, 2 and 3. 26.3.0 is public question time. Do we have any further public question? Good morning. Would you like to come forward, take a seat and just state your name for the record, please?
Good morning. My name is Jean Rosevear. I would like to talk about St Helens Point Road between Aerodrome Road and O'Connor's Beach. This road is managed by council, but I bring to everyone's attention the lack of walking space between Aerodrome Road and O'Connor's Beach. I realise this narrow section of road sits between landslip areas, and the narrow area next to the road is not deemed or maintained by council as a footpath. However, as people go up the hill or down the hill, they have nowhere else to walk except on the road, although there are wide footpaths arriving at or leaving this area. There has been criticism of people with prams walking on the road. A pilot of a light aircraft from Launceston told me that he and his passengers were afraid of that stretch to walk from the airport. It puts small children and families in danger when they cannot fit next to each other. There is no signage warning pedestrians, and they find themselves walking downhill on the road with traffic approaching from behind. Questions to council. 1. Knowing that it would be exceedingly expensive to have a geological survey done on the landslip area above the road and include gabions to support the steeper landslip that would be exposed if a wide enough footpath were constructed, what other options does council see in the very short term? 2. Would council consider a raised steel footpath on the lower side of the road and adjacent to it embedded deeply into the land? 3. Is it possible to create a pathway from Trelogan's Track to Aerodrome Road turnoff? 4. Does council have a process that can allow for funding and a short-term solution which allows people to be safe walking in this area before a serious accident occurs?
Thank you very much for your questions. And if you would like
Thank
to
you very much.
Pass that to Linda. And there will be a response within 7 working days. You have your details on there?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well done. Thank you very much.
Do we have any further questions that be raised? Councillor Johnston.
Yes, I do, and now I've lost it. But I will find it. Okay. Thank you. And it's nice to be back. My question, so the background to the question, Graham Wotham asked and received answer to the following question as outlined in the June 2026 agenda, today's agenda. Does the council have systems or protocols in place so that all correspondence from members of the public sent to administration is automatically or immediately acknowledged with a reply that the sender's correspondence has been received?
Councillor Johnson, I'm sorry, do you have actually questions?
Yeah, well, I'm just doing the background.
Yeah, not repeating, Brian, because we've already got...
No, but, no, yeah, no, if you let me finish, Mayor, thank you, with all due respect. Yes, emails sent to the council's administration email address receive an automatic response confirming that the correspondence has been received. Graham Wotham asks, his question is, after the background, why did his email to admin email of Breakaday Council containing his two questions for this June 2026 council meeting not receive an automatic response acknowledging his questions correspondence that they have been received? I've got it on email. I'll email it to you. I don't have a printer at home. Okay, thank you.
Do we have any further questions? Public question time? Okay, thank you. There will be a response to that, Councillor Johnson, within 7 working days.
That'll go to Brian, won't it?
Raising the question, Councillor
Johnson. It's a public question, and I've got his information, so that goes back to him, doesn't it?
We'll send it back to him.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councillors' questions on notice, we have nil. 26.4.0, Councillors' questions without notice. Do we have any questions? We have nil. 26.5.0, a declaration of an interest of a councillor or a close associate. Do we have any declare, Councillor Whittaker?
I'll step out of the meeting for the discussion for Ian's motion, please, to do with the online access centre.
Thank you. If you'd just like to make sure that Linda has that for that agenda item number. Thank you. 26.6.1 is the confirmation in the minutes of the council meeting on the 18th of May. Can I have somebody move? Councillor Holden, seconded Councillor Chappell. Do we have any commentary on those minutes? If we have none, I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. 26.7.0 is the council workshop, which has been held since the 18th of May, for your information. 26.8.0 is the planning authority, and pursuant to Regulation 29 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2025, the mayor is to inform council that is now acting as a planning authority under the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. Can I have somebody move that we go into planning? Councillor Chappell, seconded Councillor Whittaker. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 26.8.1 is DA037, visitor accommodation. Good morning, Alex. Would you like to walk us through this one for us, please?
So this application is DA037 of 2026. It's an additional use for visitor accommodation, and the subject site is Unit 107, 17 Woods Court, Bidalong Bay. Just notably, the existing unit has three bedrooms and a rumpus, which is being utilised as a fourth bedroom, and the visitor accommodation is sought to be applied to the entire unit. This particular application was discretionary on two performance criteria, and specifically on clause 10.3.2, visitor accommodation, P1 and P2. So firstly, P1 is because the structure exceeds 200 metres squared, and the second one, P2, is because the subject site is within an existing strata scheme. During the advertising for this application, there were three representations received, and I'll just proceed with outlining those issues and the associated responses. So representation one, so they had concerns over the potential for 12 people to be accommodated and associated vehicle movements, so small buses or people arriving in multiple vehicles. In response to that, while maximum capacity has been identified to be up to 12 people, does not necessarily indicate that every booking received will be for 12 people. The planning scheme response, in conjunction with the written response to representations prepared by the applicant, strongly indicate that the 12 people that could be accommodated within the unit are not intended to be comprised entirely of adults. And to address this specific concern, the applicant provided their written response. They noted that the maximum adults that they would be allowing for would be 8. Given that this application includes a visitor accommodation intending to operate within a unit which has a gross floor area exceeding 200 metres squared and is located within the Strata scheme, this application will be conditioned to require a visitor accommodation management plan as outlined within condition 2. In relation to the occupancy number of the visitor accommodation, the following will be outlined within condition 2A. So this is C. To specify that maximum occupancy of the visitor accommodation is 12 people, where guest numbers exceed 8 people, only 8 adults are permitted. Additionally, it is important to note that the proposed visitor accommodation was able to achieve the acceptable solution in relation to parking space requirements as per clause C2.5.1, car parking numbers, from the Parking and Sustainable Transport Code. Which is detailed within the officer's completed assessment. The second issue is potential impact on the existing on-site wastewater system, which currently services the Strata scheme that the dwelling is located within. Specific concerns included who would be responsible for replacing the system and how long would the system be out of operation should failure occur. The assessment of this application doesn't... in response to that, the assessment of this planning application does not require consideration of the existing on-site wastewater system that services the Strata scheme. This application required assessment against the use standards associated with the low-density residential zone and the Parking and Sustainable Transport Code under the current planning scheme. It is worth noting that under the previous Break-A-Day Interim Planning Scheme 2013, any application received for visitor accommodation required assessment against the use standards associated with the E16 on-site wastewater management code. Under the previous planning scheme, the capacity of an existing system servicing the site was considered and appropriate conditions were included to limit occupancy numbers if the site had an area less than 5,000 metres squared. However, the current Tasmanian planning scheme does not include either a provision or code regarding on-site wastewater systems. The ongoing operation, including maintenance of the existing system, is the responsibility of the building corporate of the Strata scheme. Representation 2, concerns over the potential for 12 people to be accommodated and primarily the ability for the site to accommodate the parking space, unnecessary parking spaces and increased vehicular movements. And just to reiterate, the responses in representation 1 address representation 2. The final representation, the first issue, the representor is currently of the opinion that the resident capacity associated with the existing dwelling is already high, untested and potentially problematic. Just in response to that, the general commentary has been noted that it is not applicable to the assessment of this application against the current assessment of the planning scheme. Specifically, the matter raised is external to the relevant zone and code provisions of the Tasmanian planning scheme. The second matter, the potential for the property to be utilised for parties or equipment activities and subsequent availability of parking spaces. This concern is largely addressed in representation 1, and I would like to note that in condition 2A, it does prohibit parties or related events in the visitor accommodation management plan. The third issue, potential ongoing impacts to shared infrastructure regarding footpaths, gardens and in-ground lighting. In response to this, the indicated impacts appear to be associated with the potential behaviour of guests, which can be difficult to predict. With regard to condition two, it will be a requirement that measures to limit, manage and mitigate behaviour issues included within the visitor accommodation management plan. With regard being given to the completed assessment, my recommendation is for approval subject to the conditions.
Thank you very much for that, Alec. Can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Chappell, seconded Councillor Oldham. Councillor Chappell, would you like any commentary?
No, I'm happy with the recommendation.
Thank you. Councillor Oldham?
What the officer's recommendation was interesting to read through the multiplication table.
Thank you, Councillor Oldham. Have we had anybody who would like to speak against this? Councillor Johnston?
Just some questions. On page 12 of our stuff here, about once endorsed the visitor accommodation C, condition under condition 2C, once endorsed the visitor accommodation management plan must be provided to adjoining property owners and occupiers. I just want to, my question there is, will this include the phone number of the person who will respond to any complaints regarding behaviour of guests? Is that... That does include that?
Yep, so the manager has to be identified in that plan and their
and,
details provided.
And then they'll be provided to the... Okay. Yes. My other question is it right, my reading of this, is that for something of this size it should be 200 metres square, or can be, and so what the size of this...
Yeah, so the acceptable solution, it specifies 200 metres squared, so because it's exceeded that, we're looking at the performance criteria.
Yep.
So the existing structure, I believe, was about 230.
I saw 295.
295?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a substantially larger than, like, 50% greater. Yep. Yes.
So it is, given it is a two-storey structure, that's very sizable.
Yeah, so we... I mean, these are the things that, for me, I just get concerned about. And the other issue, I don't know, when we talk about 12 people and they're assuring us that it's going to be 8 and the others are going to be children, I'm just wondering how that happens. And that's what you were saying. It's sort of basically the residents have to around them have to be ever vigilant, because if we can't monitor that, obviously that's not our job to do that, is it?
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's difficult to...
Okay. I just really want to... I mean, we say that the... Okay, we go ahead with these. We find acceptable solutions. It feels for me that we then put it on to the residents around them. Anyway, thank you for allowing me to ask those questions.
Councillor Beaver.
Alex, just had...
Good morning, Kylie.
Good morning.
Just had a trouble reconciling... the 8 adults piece in this. There's 3 bedrooms, and I think they're all queens, so that's 6 adults. And in the rumpus room, they talked about 2 lots of triple bunks for children.
Yeah.
When I read it initially with a capacity for 12 people, I thought, oh, you just go there for a party. It's a party house. And allowing for 8 adults... in my own mind, it would still be a party house. My question is, why isn't it restricted to 6 adults and 6 children when in the motion, in the proposal, it talks about the 2 lots of triple bunks being for children and 6 people being accessed? And if it was 6 and 6, a maximum of 6 adults, then in my mind that would take help with the parking considerably, because you probably have 3 couples in most stages, so just 3 houses rather than 8 adults, 10 adults, you might have 6 7 cars. So that's my question. Why isn't it 6 and 6?
Okay. I don't really have a basis for enforcing the occupancy number. So in this instance, the applicant, the owner, has provided their own limit, which I've gone on that limitation. If it had been under the interim scheme, certainly could have imposed a stricter occupancy number, but that's my basis at the moment.
Yes, you can't make any changes.
Thank you for that, Councillor
Beaver.
Councillor Whittaker.
I look, totally agree with what Councillor Lefevre has just said. My notes I've written here are that the representation is valid and I would be very unhappy as a neighbour in this residential area. So no question, just a comment. Thank you.
Okay, do we have any further questions for or against? If we have no further questions for or against, I'm going to take this. You certainly
Sorry. I just wanted to make a couple of comments there. As noted in the report, Harcourts look like that they're the potential managers on this, and there's commentary there by Heidi. We have to put the faith in the holiday manager as well that they're going to do their job when they take the responsibility of the bookings and that they are looking at that. That's the only control that we have on that. Obviously, it's not council's place to do that. By having that information on the report, on the plan, on the wall, Harcourt's number will be in the building if someone has an issue. And I also note that there are other holiday accommodation, visitor accommodation homes in that street as well. So I just thought I'd finalise with that. Thank you.
Councillor Wright.
Just one other thing that's been an observation of mine over the years when I've been looking after holiday property cleaning is that people don't always follow the rules regardless of what the person, but you know, it's not just that, you know, they've been invited guests over and the whole party thing. Absolutely. Eight turns into 20 and, you know, I mean,
thank you. As we can't control that, and it's been well noted, and thank you for that, Deputy Mayor. If we have no further, I'm going to take this to the vote. All in favour? Against? Councillor Wright?
I'm abstaining. That's against, I suppose.
That is. And so Councillor Wright is against, and Councillor Johnston is abstaining.
Yeah.
Thank you. So that is carried. The Mayor is to advise the Council is now concluding its meeting as a planning authority under Regulation 29 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2025. And I have somebody move that we move out of planning. Councillor Whittaker, seconded Councillor Barnes. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 26.9.1 is outstanding matters. John, would you like to take any questions if anybody has anything they'd like to raise? Councillor Carter.
Just in regards to these Commander Sports Complex, the request for tenders closed and you've won submission. What's the process from now? Is that
Yes, we'll just review the submission, clarify any points, and then we'll proceed to engagement and the process will start.
Councillor Oldham.
Parish Pass. About, what, 4 years ago, the government or department undertook a serious scrubbing and I feel that it's time that it was looked at again.
Is that something you'd like to raise as a different point or is it a part of this that we're dealing with now, Councillor Oldham?
I'll probably leave it for later then.
Thank you. Any further on outstanding resolutions, Councillor Johnston?
And I, please forgive me because I have been away, so maybe I just need to follow this up directly with David after the meeting, and I'm happy to do that. It's just the thing, I missed the meeting. It's around budget for a full-time weed officer, or excuse me if I'm not being up to date with it. I just wondered if I could be please reminded of the recommendation of the report. And I am happy to take it up afterwards, but that was my... Sorry. Apologies.
We'll talk to you afterwards.
Is that OK? I just wanted to...
There was an increase there. I just got it. And
thank you.
Also, part of it went into NRM as well.
So, OK, thank you.
Councillor Wright.
Further question on the pedestrian crossing issue. Are we still progressing with that? I mean, it's I'm getting increasing concerns from people as, you know, people with all sorts of disabilities are really having a hard time crossing the road. And the issue with the refuge in the middle, I know that's basically all we're going to get, but people just don't stop.
David, I'd like to get you to come forward and perhaps be kind enough to answer Councillor Wright's question, please.
I have another one.
Don't push it. Councillor Wright's asked a question regarding the motion that I put forward regarding that pedestrian crossing at the bakery and also near the chemist. You'd be able to give us an insight on how that's progressing, or is it being able to be done or not? Considering also in that question, which Councillor Wright didn't ask, but Councillor Chappell put forward, which we supported, the reduction of the speed limit, which we haven't got any feedback from state growth yet, which would then bring it down to 40 k's.
So I have with the engineer for 6 years consulting, reviewing all of those items for me currently. In respect of the traffic refuge islands, I've had early discussions with state growth. The road width outside the bakery is too narrow to bring a pedestrian refuge which meets current required standards. If you put in something which is going to start, add quite a degree of risk to people. The issue there is that the traffic lanes become less than 3 metres in width, and you can then potentially create other issues with the movement of traffic through those narrow spaces. The pedestrian refuge to the north of the Quarry Street Junction, there's two locations that we've done for reviewing. One is just outside, opposite Morton's car park, to where there used to be an old gift shop in the corner there. The problem with that one is that it restricts right-hand turn access to that private property, and that created a nuisance to them. And moving the pedestrian crossing back to where there's already a sleigh outside of the news agency's currently looked at. So along that stretch of road, it's a really difficult thing to place one, but we're working on that. In relation to the speed limit, there's only one town in Tasmania that's got a restricted speed limit road, which is at Exeter. They've got a 40 zone. On a regular day, it's a timed thing. It's not always in place, but it's there at certain times. So we're looking at a couple of options here about what it would mean to make Cecilia Street a 40 zone for the purposes of the slowing traffic.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you for that, David. I think we made it unanimously clear that we felt that it should be 40 k's from the Golden Fleece Bridge to the top end of Cecilia Street where it meets Tully, and that would overcome some of the issues that we're finding with not being able to put in a pedestrian refuge in the middle of the road. If we can't do that because of the road width, the lower speed limit will help address some of it. And when it's policed, which we're very lucky that we've got the inspector here listening to this, compliance will be really important, and that'll actually give some of our elderly the safety factor in crossing the road if it is a lower speed limit. And I think we're seeing it in front of the chemist where people are trying to go across to get their medication and they've got their car parked in Wardy's car park. It's becoming more and more important, so we'd love to keep progressing that one.
So the brief to the engineer was exactly that. However, in that, there's certain warrants that had to be met, or criterion for state growth, and so he's assessing all of that against that, and we'll bring back a report to a workshop. Richard's currently working on that this week, so I should have a report in the next fortnight. It'll probably be more...
Thank you very, very much for that, David. And Councillor Wright, you had another question.
I did, just regarding the pollarding of the trees in Tully Street. I'm a bit directionally challenged here. North side, is that the side we've already done, or the opposite side?
The opposite side would be the south side, Councillor Wright.
Well, I need my compass when I'm standing in Tully Street. So this redoing the site that we've already previously done?
No, that's the site side.
Oh, sorry.
We propose, I put a motion forward to look at a report for the north side.
The north side.
So that they would be balanced and yes, would, yeah, but David, you may be
able to... No, there are similar problems on that side of the road.
To John regarding those resolutions. If we have none, we'll move on to 26.10, which is petitions, which we have nil. 26.11.0 is notice of motion. 26.11.1 is St Helens Online Access Centre. Would you like to move your motion, Councillor Carter?
I'm advised that I need to read the whole motion out simply because
no, you've got to move the motion.
So I'm obviously moving the motion in regards to funding of the Online Access Centre, St Helens Online Access Centre, and the expectation that that be a state government responsibility.
Can I have somebody who would like to second that? Councillor Chappell. Councillor Carr, would you like to read your submission in support of that motion?
Again, it's in the document, so I won't read it all, but I'm certainly happy to add a little bit of information to that. Quite clearly from the previous motion that Councillor Wright moved, there was significant evidence and statistical and operational detail provided, so I won't go into that. I would just like to make a couple of points in terms of Libraries Tasmania and the advertised replacement model that they're suggesting, which is clearly insufficient and nowhere near the level of service that's currently provided by the Online Access Centre. And the last point that I'd like to make is in regards to those three other Online Access Centres, Lilydale, New Norfolk and Devonport, have all chosen not to take up the offer of accommodated within the library system, simply because they have the same, it's my understanding that they have the same view as St Helens has adopted, which is it's restrictive and not appropriate to the level of service that they want to provide. So I'm quite happy to clarify anything else that I've written in there. Otherwise, that's my motion.
Thank you very much, Councillor Carter. What I'd like to say is we actually don't need a report. I think we're all extremely supportive of your motion. And we've been supportive of the Online Access Centre since day one. That hasn't changed, so I would think, John, that we just go straight to Council writing another letter to the government regarding and reinitiate the conversation and support of this motion.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, a report's not required for this. It is effectively a letter to state on this, so we'll just move to that.
Councillor Chappell, you'll be happy with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I just did have one question that I'd just like to seek some clarification on, and it may be that we know the answers. I understand previously that the coordinator was in a volunteer position for a volunteer organisation. Just wondering when it actually changed to a paid position. So historically it was a volunteer position, the coordinator. So when did it change to a paid position and why, I suppose? Because there's funding, obviously, that may be... I'd just like to clarify.
I don't actually know the entire answer to that, but previously there was a paid position there, Sharon, who worked there for quite a number of years. So it's probably only in the last 12 months that she was terminated. And my understanding there was they simply didn't have enough funds to pay for her salary within the operational financial constraints that they had. I can't comment any further.
I'd like a bit more history on that. Just as a side, just some information for us to actually have.
Very so. Mr. Mayor, we'll
thank you. Cool. Thanks.
Thank you. Councillor Wright?
My concern was on, obviously, the urgency of getting something happening with this, as the funding does end on the 30th of June, to my understanding. And how are they going to continue beyond that if we don't get something happening? Is there some other avenue that... or some sort of assistance that can be given to basically cover the shortfall in the meantime, if it doesn't happen.
I think if I count Councillor Wright, we've all made it very clear that Council can't subsidise state government or federal government responsibilities. We all know that. But we do need to be very forceful in our letter to the state government of how serious the situation is and how much the support of the Online Access Centre is actually based on their support financially to the Online Access Centre. So if everybody is happy for the General Manager to write a strong letter of support of the Online Access Centre to the state government and get it away ASAP, I will take it to the vote and we will get...
I'll just make one final comment.
Obviously, we'll get some questions answered to Councillor Chappell on that question that you've raised. Councillor Carter, would you like to finish off?
Thank you. Just one last thing. It was raised in the workshop in regards to the possibility of considering a model of governance similar to the one that operates with Fingal. So I think within whatever we say to the state government, we're also maybe suggesting that there's ways that we can operate into the future that are similar to other organisations around the state.
No worries. If everybody's happy with that, I'm going to take it to the vote. All in favour? That's carried unanimous. Thank you. Would somebody like to let Lisa in for me? You're allowed back in again now, Councillor Whittier.
Thank you.
26.12.1 is the Mayor's communication for the period ending 15th of June. There is one that I'd like to add, is the one with NT, or else the Land Use Management Strategy. That was cancelled and that's going to be now on next week. This week, actually this Friday, they cancelled it last week. But I'd also like to take this opportunity for a very big congratulations to our ex-councillor, Janet Drummond, for her OAM, and I think it's we will be sending Councillor Drummond a very nice letter of congratulations for her work and effort that she's put in to local government and her community.
Thank you.
26.12.2 is Councillor's reports for the period ending 15th of June. So, Deputy Mayor Chappell, the Chamber of Commerce. No meeting at the moment. NRM, Councillor Johnston.
I was away, and Kylie.
Yeah, I don't think there's been a further meeting since the last.
Oh, okay. There you go, Mayor. We'll be following that. Sorry, didn't go ahead. Thank you.
No worries. East Coast Tourism, Councillor Fever.
No additional meeting, but I would like to say that East Coast Tourism put a submission into the Bay of Fires Master Plan, and I thought the document was exceptional that they put in and mirrored many of Council's thoughts.
Mental Health Action Group, Barry?
No.
Access and Inclusion Advisory Committee, Councillor Wright?
No meeting.
No worries. Bay of Fires Master Plan, Councillor Carter?
The public phase of consultation is closed now, and there's been no further indication of meetings in the future, but I know it's all being assessed at the moment.
So Mary's Exhibition Building Committee, Councillor Johnston.
Now, the meeting was deferred, waiting upon the drawings and the report from the engineer. I understand now the drawings options and the report has in part been received, and that the volunteer project assistant manager and Jake have the report, so things are moving ahead. He will share that will be shared with the committee, and we will have a meeting soon. But I just wanted to confirm that things are going ahead, and even if the meeting didn't happen, Jake and the and Graham Watham did meet to talk about the report.
That'll be very
so
good.
Thank you to the ongoing work of both of those wonderful people.
Thank you. 26.13.1 is the Corporate Services Department report. Good morning, Rao.
Morning, Vic.
Morning, Rao.
Morning, Rao.
Morning, Rao. Morning, Rao. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Well, there's a little bit of stuff there. Would you like to walk away through and prioritise for us? There's a lot of information there. Let's start with the Corporate Services Department report, and we'll see how much detail councillors can actually cope with today.
I reckon I'll handle it quite well.
Councillors, the Corporate Services Department, as you can imagine, at this time of the year, we've been incredibly busy working through budget estimates, preparation, finalising the municipal revaluation and its application to rates. That's been really challenging. The workshop discussion we had around rates and minimums when we entered that into the system created some very difficult situation for us. We ended up having slightly over 35% of properties on the minimum, which under the Act you can't have 35% of properties. So that took a lot of work to revise that, but I'll talk about that more later in the meeting. We are working hard with Intuit and Peak in relation to our ICT infrastructure, and we've got a cyber security audit underway, which will give us a baseline of where we're at cyber security wise, and will allow us to work with Intuit to improve that in time to come. For those that attended the workshop, the strategic asset management plan was discussed at length with you all. John and David and I are now doing a final review of that, hoping to get it to the July or August meeting. And from an asset management perspective, the revalue building depreciation journals were applied to this month's financial statements. So you'll all see that now flowing through in the financial report. Your panel meeting occurred as well during the month. And one of the key aspects of that was the report in relation to the audit panel's performance. And I'd like to thank Councillor Fever and Councillor Wright for the time they put in to come into the audit panel. It's not an easy task having to go through that, but I think we had a pretty good year this year. And just an outline of our investment portfolio and how it continues to perform, which we provide every month, and the rates summary as well. So, Mayor, if councillors have any questions in relation to that, I'll be happy to take them.
Thank you. Firstly, can I get somebody move that the report be received? Councillor Wright and Secretary Councillor Fever. And Rao, just from the get-go, I know this workload this year has probably been one of the heaviest that I've ever seen in my time on council because of the skewed revaluation that has resulted in a massive workload, not just for yourself and Marissa and John, but the whole team. And I think the work and effort that has been put in has been well and truly seen.
Thanks very much, Mayor. Appreciate that.
Any questions or comments to Rao on the Corporate Services Department report? We have none. I'll take it to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. 26.13.2 is the monthly financial report. Once again, Rao, I'll get you to walk us through this one.
As usual, councillors, there's actually more detail this month in the notes below the profit and loss statement, which outlines that we are tracking quite well financially at a high level. It also notes the depreciation of $610,000 hitting the budget, which is a significant sum, and that's from the revaluation of our buildings. Quite often, I tend not to provide too much of a detailed report in relation to the financials, but at this time of the year, what does become clear is that we start to get a better idea of where our operating revenue is around $1.13 million above budget and our operating expenditure is around $612,000 below budget. So the reported net profit is around $4.76 million. But once you adjust for capital grants and non-recurring items, the underlying operating surplus at the moment is approximately $674,000. Now, that is significantly different to what it would look like to anyone who doesn't read financial statements, in the agenda. It's going to be very tight in relation to our underlying surplus position by the end of the year. It's projected to be around maybe 110, maybe 115,000. But I've preemptively reached out to the people we work with in relation to our asset revaluations, because indexation will have to apply to roads, footpaths, bridges, everything else. And that's probably the bigger risk to that number. We're just being very conscious internally of trying to keep our non-essential spends as low as possible, and hopefully, fingers crossed, that we do actually deliver what would be our fourth underlying surplus in a row.
Thank you very much, Raoul. Can I have somebody move that this report be received? Councillor Fever, seconded Councillor Oldham. Any questions to Raoul on this report?
I'm not going to ask a question. I just want to thank you for your explanation and just note, like the Mayor did before, the amount of stuff that's going on at the moment. So I thank you for the extra notes. Explanations, and just that explanation that you gave then, it's always good for those of us that aren't so literate in this space. So I do appreciate that, Raoul.
Thanks, Councillor
Johnson.
Thanks.
Okay,
we
have any comments?
Councillor
Fever? I was just going to say, what impresses me with the finances overall is that we're a little bit fluid, and you need to be fluid to react to the times and the needs of the ratepayers. And I suppose specifically what I mean is, if something breaks down and we have to buy it, we can forego something else or move something around to achieve that goal that we needed to achieve. So I really appreciate that, and I think that's a big positive for our municipality, in that we're not hard and fast in the rules that we... Not the rules, but the way we set the finances. Yep. Benefits all.
Councillor Fever, I think to add on from that is what we all know. We can have a natural disaster at any time. Council's got the financial ability to be able to help get straight in and get it done, because we could wait a long time before you get support. The government will always help you in natural disasters, but they only pay 75%. We've got to pay the rest. But we've got to get the work done. And we have the financial capacity to be able to cover some urgent work while we're waiting on getting recompensated back from the government, which makes you feel that level of comfort that we have in our council, which is really, really good to have that. Councillor Wright.
I just wanted to say that from my own recollection and being on council for as long as I have, that I think our financial position is a hell of a lot stronger than it was some years ago, and I think your work has gone a very long way to putting us in that position. I think it's quite a credit to the team.
You've done well. Okay, we're going to take this to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous, thank you. 26.13.3 is the Valuer General's municipal revaluations. So if everybody's hanging on to their hair, we will start on this one. Raoul, would you like to take us through this, please?
Before we start ripping into these very detailed reports that I've provided you all, I've got a condensed report I can provide to council, which effectively just supports the reports that are in the agenda, or I can provide a very detailed, effectively a speech to support the items. I prepared both because I suspected you'd probably want the condensed version, but in case you don't want the condensed version, Mayor, I've also got, a much more, elongated approach for the public record if need be.
Look, I really appreciate that, Raoul, but for all of us who've sat around the table through numerous budget workshops and the financial revaluation consideration workshops, I think we're all pretty comfortable that we've heard it. So I think the agenda item is there for everybody to read in the public, which is really, really good and self-explanatory. But I think the condensed version would be pretty handy today.
Certainly. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, councillors. So the Value of Annual Municipal Revaluation Report, councillors, we have discussed at workshop at length. This report's undertaken independently by the Valuer General, not by Council. It has nothing really to do with us beyond the fact that we assist to facilitate the Valuer General in selecting the valuers to undertake the work. Council doesn't set property values. Our role is to decide how those updated valuations are applied through our rating system. The revaluation changes the relative value of properties and therefore how the rates burden may be distributed, but it doesn't of itself change Council's overall revenue unless we decide to apply the valuations and the cents in the dollar in a different way. So the report's there for everyone to see, and really the important part, having looked at the valuations, is then to move on to our response to what the Valuer General has provided us with those valuations.
Thank you very much for that, Rial. Can I have somebody move the report be received? Councillor Chappell, seconded Councillor Fever. Questions to Rial on this, if we got any questions? I think we'll got off lightly on that one, Rial. We'll go straight to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. Don't think you'll get off as light on the next one. 26.13.4 is the revaluation and council's rating response. Rao, would you like to, once again, the condensed version of where we sit with this one?
Certainly, Mayor. Well, look, the revaluation has fundamentally changed property values across the whole municipality. And our approach has not been to allow these changes simply to flow through unchanged. Instead, what we've looked to apply to the new valuation base in a very deliberate and, I think, guided by, we discussed this at the workshop, some very clear principles around fairness, capacity to pay, land use impacts and community outcomes, while also keeping in mind that our long-term financial sustainability at its core, we still need to generate a sufficient amount of revenue to provide the services that we currently do, or in turn we have to start cutting back services. And that's the decision Council always has in front of it. We, as I said, we don't set the valuations, but what we've done very much within our rating response is we've very much recalibrated where we collect the majority of the rate revenue from. We've been deliberate and I think very fair in the approach that we've taken with the residential rate base, particularly the people effectively that live here. They have been the cornerstone to the model that we've produced. They will see the most minimal impact of all land use classes. In fact, in the modelling that I've undertaken, the reduction in the cents in the dollar will see some parts of the municipality actually have a rate decrease. And this is the challenge of the revaluation from the Valuer General, is that it is so lumpy and disproportionate across the whole municipality that we have to come back to core principles, and that is we needed to generate X amount of dollars for next year. To do that from the valuation base that we've been given, we only have one tool under an AAV, and that is to apply a cents in the dollar across a land use category. Now, with differential rates, you know that we have different land use categories, that being residential, commercial, industrial, primary production, public purpose, utilities, forestry, and now short stay accommodation. By looking at that revaluation that occurred and allowing some land use classes to have that valuation flow through in full, allows us then to moderate the impacts on those other land use classes that I think I describe in the report actually add more to the fabric of what it is to be this community, as opposed to other uses which are maybe more commercial in nature. It didn't escape me this morning driving through St Helens that the new utilities land use category that we have now put into our rates resolution for discussion later on is directly aligned to the fact that utilities are a commercial service provider that were previously rated at, I believe, an incredibly low level. Utilities provide services for sure, but they also do it for profit. So they've been included, their valuations now locked into this model, and I think it's a very, very like sensitive and sensibly applied model to the challenges that we faced with the revaluation. It's probably the 80th or 90th model I've run. I'm sick to death of running these models. But I genuinely don't think we could have found a fairer, more transparent way of applying what was a very challenging revaluation. So I'll just open up for questions then.
Thank you very much, Rio. Firstly, can I have somebody move the officer's recommendation? Councillor Wright, seconded Councillor Chappell. Any questions to Rao on this? Councillor Whittaker?
Not a question, just a statement. And Rao, you have totally reiterated what I'd written here, is that you're guided by fairness and the capacity to pay, which is totally fair. Yeah, great way to base everything on.
Thanks, Councillor.
Councillor Johnston.
Look, again, it's not a question. I've underlined bits of it in here and put big ticks because I wasn't at some of these workshops. And I feel, I don't know what the word is, but I'll use proud, that the council has that framework, that lens, as has been indicated here. I don't understand the financial side of it, but I'm hoping, and from your genuine statements and what's in here, that we follow that. And I think that if the community gets to read this and see that that's the lens and the framework that we're working from, I really feel very much when what you just said about the people that live here, I think that that is why we're here. I know lots of people pay rates, but the residential, they're the people that make the fabric of the place. So I thank you, but I thank the council for having that framework and lens. So thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor Johnson. This is something we've all been working on for the whole term of this council. And really, my job's pretty simple in that respect because I think I understand what it is we're trying to achieve.
Councillor Chappell.
I'll just point out just a really heartfelt thanks from me and everybody. The team, you and the team that have put this together, and Marissa, and I'm not going to name names because I know there's been weekends, and as you said, you've done so many versions of it. Just good job. Thank you. And thank you in your explanations to us to try and help us get our brains through it as well because it's huge.
Well, I think when we see the revaluation going from 43% increase in some areas down to 3% increase in others, I've never seen such a variation for the time we've been on council. I've never seen such a hard job that's been done to create equality and fairness that I think we've achieved to the very best of our ability based on what's been given to us. And the reval is an independent that we don't have any say over. So it is what it is, as the old saying goes, but to have come up with a fair, equitable model across our municipality is a credit to the whole team and council who's been working on it. So I'm going to take this one to the vote. All in favour? Carried unanimous. Thank you. Before we go to the next one, has got a fair bit in it. I'm going to call a break. We have quite a few people to have an Australian citizenship.
I would like to welcome all of those people into our chamber. And would you get Molly?
Yes,
she'll be out there, will she?